To kick us off, I am very excited. I am joined, hopefully on the phone. I always feel like it's a gamble when I do phone calls because I'm still, like, I can do this for years and I'll still feel new, I swear. But Dean from Upstate, I just heard you laugh, so thank you for the confirmation that I didn't mess that up.
Anytime.
Appreciate you so much. And I heard that you are, in fact, en route here to Carbondale. So you are planning on making the show at Steve's Guitars tonight.
Yes, we are planning on making it. It's been a couple of snafus here and there today with the van and brakes and all sorts of wild stuff. But, you know, if you can get stranded on top of a mountain in this kind of place, not too bad. So, you know, we sorted it all out and we're on our way.
You've got a good attitude about it. And, like, you're totally right. Obviously, there are far uglier, worse places to be stranded for a moment.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So have you guys played Steve's Guitars before?
No, we haven't actually. We're not sure what we're walking into, but we're pretty excited about it.
I am very excited for you. I mean, not to gush over Steve's Guitars too much. Steve, if you're listening, you obviously know how much I adore you and your venue, but it is probably top five favorite venues for me on the planet.
Oh my God. All right. Well then, hey, we are really excited.
Right? It's just the coolest, funkiest vibe. And like, it's got guitars hanging everywhere and the lighting is perfect. I mean, you really feel like you're just playing in a really cool town's living room, like just the publicly shared living room that everybody hangs out in.
Oh God. We love that. I mean, the house show vibe is such a like wonderful thing that we get to do sometimes, you know, like we love the whole festival thing, you know, playing to thousands of people, doing the whole like big show type thing. But when you really get down to it, sometimes those intimate nights in like someone's living room, playing your music for someone who's really listening to your arrangements, all the stuff you spent hours and days on, it really makes it, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's still a dedicated venue. Don't get me wrong. Like, you step outside and you are right back in downtown Carbondale. But there's, like, this magic little cozy sphere that happens in that room. It's very cool. So
it sounds like
you guys are really well suited for it. I have to know, I'm always so curious whenever Steve reaches out and he's just such a good curator of music. You've never played before. How did you find yourself in communication with Steve? How did this gig come to be?
Well, you know, we're pretty much an independent band, but for this last record that we just released on February 8th, we decided to kind of go the full Monty with it. So we ended up finding ourselves like a booking agent. We're working with a label. We're working with a great PR company through the label. And then another PR company for a couple other things. We like decided to just kind of go, you know, face first into this thing.
Wow.
And actually met him. Yeah, no, it's, you know, because being independent, you make that shift all of a sudden. It's a bit jarring, but it's kind of lovely because you get connections like Steve's Guitars from our agent, Mike Kies, who's with this company, Strategic Touring.
Nice.
He's wonderful. You know, he's been working very hard to make sure that we are meeting our goals this year and kind of booking all the right gigs and connecting with people like Steve.
Very cool. Very cool. So, now I kind of want to like jump on that tangent with you because there is such a high concentration of talent in this valley. And I am so sure there's somebody listening right now who is like, wait a minute, I've been an independent musician and I've been thinking about, you know, making that shift. You know, it sounds like you feel like it's been worth it. But logistically, how did you as a band come to that decision and that consensus? And then how did you start vetting the process and you know, representation?
Well, that's a bit of a story, but I mean, to start off, I mean, we, you know, being as independent as we were for so long, you know, we learned how to do everything by ourselves. Like, you know, Mary, Melanie, and Allison usually handle like Instagram, Facebook, all sorts of stuff like that. I usually handle like technical sides of stuff, like advancing, sound stuff. Harry handles all the numbers and all the money. And everyone just kind of like, it's just this division of labor that you kind of develop after a while. But when you get to a certain number of shows a year, that division of labor, like, it's going to break down. If you're hitting, like, 100, 120 shows a year, it's just hard to do that and maintain the level of art that you're going for. Like, you know, you can't spend 5 hours working on business stuff and then say, well, I'm going to go practice for 3 hours, you know?
You mean you can't just turn your art on like a switch?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like everyone could do that, right?
On demand. On demand.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you guys have been together for a long time. How long have you been together?
Oh, man. We've been together for, I think 8 years total almost, but around seven. And we've been running professionally, I think, like 3 or 4.
Wow. So I have to know the Genesis story. How did you meet? Tell me everything.
Well, I can't tell you how everybody met, but I can give you my input on how I got into the band.
Yes, please.
Basically, I was at my second week of freshman year in college, and I came from a real small town in downstate New York, Greenwood Lake. It's no one will ever have ever heard of it, I swear. But, you know, I came from a town with about two musicians in it. So I got to college in SUNY New Paltz, where all the rest of us went except for one of us. I got there, and everyone was playing music every single day. Just out on the quad, there were just 9, 10 musicians just doing something. So I freaked out. And I ended up just playing music every day. I, like, missed some class. I did all that. But one day I decided, all right, I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to go get lunch. I'm not going to be hungry for my evening classes. I'm going to go skip all the music. I got to just, like, be a good student. So I walk out of my dorm without a drum. And I'm the drummer. I walk out, and there's, like, just the best band that I've heard, like, in probably the 2 weeks that I was there. So I said, all right, screw it. I'm just going to give this a shot. And I realized they were picking up and leaving, and I had nothing on me to play with them. So I found an Altoids case in my pocket and played it for 3 hours.
What?
Yeah, no, 3 hours. A shaker, a drum, the whole thing. And then I got invited by our mandolin player to join, like, the band to kind of give an audition. So, you know, fast forward about a week. I didn't hear anything from them after that. And it's like Labor Day weekend. I'm like beat. I worked like 3 12-hour shifts, and I get a phone call from this mandolin player I met. And he's like, hey man, I'm practicing with this band Upstate. And at the time our name was Upstate Rubdown, but I'm practicing with this band Upstate Rubdown. Like, could you maybe come swing by? And I'm looking at the clock. It's like 10:30 at night. And I'm like, you know, I don't know. Like it's kind of beat right now. He's like, no, like seriously, we just need a drummer. Like, come on up. So, you know, I picked up my cajon, which, like, I bought maybe, I don't know, like 2 days before that, and walked on up to the practice room. And I get in there, and, like, the vibe is just so down. Like, everyone just seems, like, really tired and a little upset. And it's a cello player, a mandolin player, two of our women, and our upright bass player. So I get in the room, I sit down, they introduce themselves, and they say, all right, count us in. We're going to give this song a shot. So I count us in, and, like, when I tell you there's, like, lightning in a bottle sometimes, it felt like all the pieces kind of fit in this one group, and we started making music.
That sounds magical.
Yeah, no, it was.
You know, Dean, I'm so sorry that it sounds like you suffer from just, you know, crippling introversion, just unable to put yourself out there.
I know. I'm really shy. It's tough.
Oh, man. Like, I love the idea of this magic, and I love the combination of the instruments you just listed off too. My goodness.
It's morphed over time as well. I mean, shifted away from the cellist. We got a saxophone player in, we added in another lady for like harmonies, and then she had to leave, and then we added in another one. And like, it's a wild time, but, it's finally feeling consistent and solid. And, we're really excited about the record we put out.
Very cool. Very cool. And there's a mandolin involved now. Am I right on that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been a mandolin since the very beginning. Our most recent mandolin player had to split, but we got this new one that came with us on the road, Dylan McKinstry, who is just obscenely good. Oh, my God. Like, he is insanely good at mandolin.
Oh, that's so great. Tell me about this new album.
All right. So our new album, Healing, it's just the culmination of like a lot of music that we've been working on for so long, and just kind of, it really helped define us into what we want out of our music. You know, like we spent a lot of time on the arrangements, a lot of time on the words, a lot of time on just making sure that like every little like piece and parcel was right in place. You know, we wanted to make sure that everything just fit and felt like us. Our first album, like, you know, we had some gripes with it. We had some great things about it. We wanted to make sure that this thing was the best possible album we could put together. And we ended up, like, there's four main songwriters in the band. I'm not one of them, but I'm working on that. But we ended up working with an insane crew. John O'Rich from the Wood Brothers was our producer. We had Justin Gwip, the drummer for Hot Tuna, who also works with, like, Larry Campbell and Teresa Williams.
Wow.
He was our engineer. We had, like, the man with the quickest hands, this guy, we call him Almond Mike, who was working Pro Tools the whole time. And it was just the best experience you could possibly imagine.
Sounds like it. So I'm curious, from your perspective, You mentioned that you're not one of the main songwriters, but you're working on it. You've also mentioned that, you know, you've been in this band from early on, and it's seen several faces and iterations as it's evolved as well. How do you manage your own individual evolution as a musician and potential songwriter within the evolution of the band?
That's a great question. Part of it comes from the fact that this group is really good at allowing people to grow. Like, you know, I decided early on that I would only play the cajon, the box drum, and not a kit, because that's where I wanted to go as an artist. And yeah, we're all going to get some pushback. We're all going to like try different things, kind of push people into other new things. But in terms of the individuality as an artist versus like kind of getting amalgamating into a group, our strongest suit is the fact that we all bring something totally different to the table. I mean, some of us are into like, you know, old country and like, you know, Hank Williams. Some of us are into like, you know, modern like hip hop. Some of us are into classic rock. Some of us are into like, you know, the Staves, like Lake Street Dive, Americana. Like the influences never end, and we all come from such different musical backgrounds that, you know, the individuality is the thing that makes the music great and allows us to keep growing, you know, and we push each other, you know, like we, how do I put it? We try and push each other to try new things, especially things that are out of our comfort zones. Like, for example, I never thought I'd play a country song. We got this song on the record, Sarah, that is absolutely a wonderful country song written by Harry on the bass. And like, you know, there's the whole thing that like we get grouped into kind of the Americana scene, but we can do so much more. I mean, we've got songs like Weekend and Young on the record that like are just total bops, you know, like they transcend that Americana line pretty quickly.
It's funny. I'm staring at your album, actually, the playlist. And as you're rattling off, I was like, oh, Sarah, perfect. Oh, there's Young. I'll pull both of those down for a musical break later. And that's a nice juxtaposition. It sounds like, you know, we'll be able to get a decent flavoring of a couple of different musical profiles out of those.
I mean, yeah, it's a whirlwind. I mean, every song is a different genre, but we can't really place which genre it is. So you just have to use your best judgment.
That's perfect. Well, and that's probably kind of nice, too, to not feel, you know, boxed in by a label of, oh, we're XYZ genre or this type of band. You really do get to explore.
Yeah.
Inevitably, sometimes it can't always work, though. I mean, it's not always lightning in a bottle. Do you guys feel comfortable? Or, I mean, there's not a lot of artistic ego. You can say like, oh, man, you know what? We tried it, but I'm not really sure this one's making the album.
Oh, yeah. No, we have gotten good at that. That was a learning process. You know, we started when we were basically babies. Aww. Like, you know, so we had to learn how to communicate. And as a band, that was like the most positive thing that we could have learned. I mean, you know, one of our singers, Melanie, talked to me about like non-confrontational communication. I'm not sure if I'm getting the words right, but just about like how to communicate well. And we all had to learn that at different times. And we all grew at different paces in different ways. But, you know, it got to the point where we finally feel like, okay, we can reject ideas. We can add new ideas. We can recognize where there's lightning in a bottle and recognize where there's none at all. And it doesn't hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're good enough about that now. And yeah, there's going to be like little like spats and fights and stuff. But as a whole, I mean, like we just learned how to function as a unit out of necessity. Because really what has always prevailed for us is that music is the thing that we're here for. Like it's not about ego. It's not about the show. It's not about, you know, the record. It's that we love making music together and we always have. And that like even if you're so upset with someone, that won't change. For some odd reason with us, it's just we like making the music. I mean, you could be in the middle of like a crazy argument, but if someone's got a great song idea, all of a sudden that just totally goes to the wayside.
That sounds really neat. That sounds really neat. And I also like this idea that, you know, you spoke about Healing, your newest album, about just how much intention went into every little detail. And it's neat to hear that it sounds like there's a lot of intention that went into the cohesiveness of the band, you know, personally, in addition to musically. So that's a cool parallelism.
I mean, people were like giving their like, you know, life stories in these songs, you know, I mean, even with Mother, like, you know, that was a big deal for Mary. It was a very deep song about, you know, just her mother and how, you know, she gave her all these things, whether they're good or bad. And, you know, in terms of looking at that, I mean, people did things like, I mean, for me, I ended up playing paradiddles, a drum rudiment, the whole time, which is the first rudiment any drummer kind of learns because it felt so basic and primal and kind of from that time in my life because my dad taught me drums. So, you know, like you do things like that to kind of like bring out the real flavor of the song.
Do you ever feel when you're performing, I mean, it sounds like some of these songs, like you, I mean, I'll use your own words, very primal, very raw. Do you feel that intimacy and that kind of almost exposure and vulnerability when you're performing, or is it just rock solid? It's so well rehearsed. You've got it at this point.
It depends on the night. I got to say, like, sometimes there are shows that just, they hit you harder. You know, there are things that fuel deeper in your soul, you know? And yeah, like we pride ourselves in being a band that's very realistic. You know, our stage presence is very with what's going on. Like for us, you know, we're not going to like do the happy song and dance thing if we're not really like in the happy song and dance thing. You know, like we are entertainers, but we're also people, and bringing that vulnerability has only proven to be, I don't know, helpful for us, you know? So for us, like that idea that like all this like primal emotion and like, you know, and sometimes it's not that primal. Sometimes it's super refined and super heady and like has some deeper content behind it. Like, you know, we just kind of try and go with where it's at instead of trying to, I don't know, fake it.
Nice. So the band's called Upstate and you're from New York. So I'm guessing you're not from Manhattan.
Oh, no. I mean, our bassist grew up there for a little while, but we're all really from the Hudson Valley, which by New York standards isn't exactly upstate. But to us, it was, you know, and also we've got like three at the time when the band was founded, there were three members from like Rochester, Binghamton and Ithaca. So they just kind of figured it would work.
Wow. And it sounds like from your earlier numbers that you guys are performing about a third of the year. You know, how is there a home base for you all now, or are you just always on the road?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for us, the Hudson Valley is a home base, even though it doesn't really feel like we have a home base at certain parts of the year. I mean, we're hitting 150 shows this year, minimum.
Congratulations.
So we're technically on the road for about 200, if not a couple more, because of just other stuff we got to do for the band. So, you know, we really only have, like, tiny little, like, week-long pockets of just time that we can spend, like, in our home base, which is the Hudson Valley primarily.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Is there anything that Carbondalians who are listening right now, who are planning on checking out the show tonight, like, is there something they just absolutely need to know about you all and your story in order to really quote unquote get it, or are you just you're just putting it out there and how whatever the takeaway is, that's the takeaway and that was their individual experience?
You know what? I'm just gonna say let's put it out there and see what happens. And good news, we got some new tunes coming at you tonight that are unrecorded and I've probably only been played like a handful of times, one of which I don't think has been played if we actually get around to it.
Really? Well, no, now it's out there. It's in the airwaves. It's on the record. You've committed.
That's true.
You heard it here first on KDNK, folks. There is going to be a debut from Upstate at Steve's Guitars tonight.
Great. I'm sure the whole band will feel pretty good about that.
Oh, yeah,
all right?
Right? You're definitely going to do, yeah, you're going to do all of the radio interviews from here on out for sure.
Oh, man.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so, so much for joining me, Dean. I really appreciate it. I loved hearing the insights about the band's history and where they are now. We didn't really talk much about where you're planning on heading, just because I figured right now you're, you know, basking in the new album. But have you thought about what's next?
What's next? I mean, the cool part about what we got going on right now is that we don't really have time for much else except touring this year. So we're doing that. But we're also like working on writing new songs as much as we can. We're working on opening for some bigger bands, just trying to see where this takes us. You know, I mean, we put a lot of eggs into this basket of this album, and we're hoping to kind of hatch a couple of them. So we're going to find that out.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to let you be the steward of your immediate future. Should I play Sarah or Young first for a musical break before our next guest?
Ooh, man, I'm going to say, let's go with Young. Yeah, let's throw that one on there.
I like it. I like it. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to the expert, and thank you for joining, and safe travels for the rest of the time. We need to, now the Young's, like, it's there. We're the excitement's there. You got to make it here all in one piece. So safe travels from Ridgeway, and we'll see you here in a couple hours.
All right, sounds good. Can't wait to see you.
Thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Cheers. All right. Per the artist, one of the artists anyway, himself, per recommendation, you're going to be listening to Young off of Upstate's newest album, Healing.
Do I want to be something different than who I am today? Do I have regrets? Yes, I do. Do I? ambition to be older, so I could run anywhere,
get away
somewhere
different from
where I came.
Would it seem all the same?
But running wouldn't get me any place
further
from my negative thoughts, and
neither
would I
understand
all it hang.
All that I
had to be to
know wasn't all right.
Do I wanna be something different than who I am?
But it don't help, okay.
But all this time spent thinking and wondering if it were the right way. Took away the time to myself, for myself. Time to myself, for something.